Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, friend and truth seeker. You are listening to PGN Prophetic Grace Network. This is Nicole, your Book of Revelation research scientist. And tonight we are talking about Revelation chapter 19, verses 6 to 21, the marriage supper prophecy. I believe that the Bible reveals that John the Revelator was called up to heaven supernaturally as he was on the island of Patmos. And in Revelation chapter 4, he tells us what he saw when he was called up to heaven. He describes where he was and who was there. Then it was on to his assignment. In Revelation chapter 1, Jesus gave him two action items. Action item number one, to share the things that are. And action item number two, to share the things to come. Beginning with Revelation chapter 5, John the Revelator wrote down everything he saw and heard as he watched visions, moving pictures with sound that he was shown by an angel of the Lord, passed by Jesus Christ to show John the Revelator things to come, things that are soon to happen, end time events. So first, John the Revelator was shown the Seven Seals documentary. Then he was shown the Seven Trumpets documentary. Then the 1,260 Days documentary. Then the 666 Antichrist documentary. Then the 144,000 First Fruits documentary. Then the Earth Reap documentary. Then the Seven Plagues documentary. Then the Purple and Scarlet documentary. And then we arrive at the Marriage Supper documentary. Documentary number 9, that's the one that we're talking about. Countdown to Battle of Armageddon. Countdown to Battle of Armageddon, that's what we're talking about tonight. 903-946, I see your hand raised. I'm going to come to you now. Let me see if I can unmute you here. 903-946, who are we talking to and where are you calling from?
Hi, my name is Janice, and I'm from the Tulsa area.
You said Janice?
Yes.
Welcome, Janice. Thank you for listening and for being with us. Did you call to comment on the Book of Revelation, pose a question about the Book of Revelation, or maybe for another reason?
No, just for prayer, and I haven't ever come in on you before. This is a first.
I'm so glad you called. I'm happy to pray with you and for you. Do you have a specific prayer request?
Well, I just feel hopeless right now, and I'd like to get past that feeling.
Amen. Amen. Let's take it to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we come to you in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Thank you for Janet. She's coming to you in faith, Lord, knowing that you have good plans for her. Your word says that you have plans to give her hope and a future, that you hope above all things that she will prosper and be in health even as her soul prospers. So, Lord, right now, we come against all weapons formed against her, and we declare and decree according to the word of God that no weapon formed against Janice will prosper. Lord, thank you that she has your favor. Thank you that she's growing in favor with you, Lord God, and with man. Lord, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, that you're giving her energy, the energy that she needs. You know, Janice, I'm seeing that there's like a, seems like you're going, but you're moving at a slow pace. Almost like
rails. Yeah.
like things are just very slow, like you're getting you're moving and in the right direction, but it's very slow, and it's like everything is heavy. And so, Lord, we just we come against the demonic spirit of oppression and the demonic spirit of hopelessness. And Lord, I just speak right now, joy, happiness, peace that surpasses all understanding. And Lord, let every word, false accusation against her, Lord, we just pull those words off of her. We break the demonic spirit of rejection. Lord, thank you that Janice is not rejected, that she is loved, that you love her, that you favor her, that you are pleased with her, that, Lord, she is your daughter. It doesn't matter how many people come against her, because you have placed her in your hands, Lord. Her future is in your hands, Lord. You love her, Lord. You approve of her. Thank you, Lord, that the rejection of others does not decide her fate. You are in control of her destiny. Thank you, Lord, that she's cooperating with your plans and purposes for her life. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We just come against every foul, tormenting, demonic spirit of rejection. You know, it seems like it's like a slingshot, and it just keeps what is coming out of it is just words, like words people have spoken over you, and it's like they just keep coming at you over and over again, like a rock coming from a slingshot, but no weapon formed against you will prosper. Hallelujah.
Thank you,
Hallelujah.
Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Amen. So, what would you like to share, if anything? And I'm so happy you called so that we could be here to pray with you and to encourage you.
Well, I just thank you for that prayer. I'm real interested in what you have to teach on tonight. And I listen. I will reap a lot from it tonight. I just am thankful, like I said, for the prayer.
Amen. Well, it's been a blessing to hear from you. God bless you. I'm going to put you on mute so we can go into the talk. I hope that you'll be able to join us as often as you like. And did you know that tonight we have Prophet Randy coming on also at 9 p.m. Texas time?
Okay.
And he will also be praying for folks. Do you listen to the Monday through Thursday show, Prophet Randy Chandler?
I haven't been able to hear Randy preach in about 2 years, so it's going to be nice tonight.
Okay, and do you have the new phone number? He switched to a new number.
Oh, I probably don't.
Okay, let me give that to you. It's 1319.
Okay, I don't have a pen. Hang on one moment.
Okay, no problem.
I'm sorry.
No, it's no problem at all. So now we have two PGN channels. This is the original PGN channel, and then Randy's program is on the new channel. So just the last four digits have changed, that's all.
Okay.
But it's the same show.
Okay, give it to me now, please.
Okay, 1319 27 6737.
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome. God bless you, Janice. Thank you so much.
And your prayer was on target. Thank you.
Amen. It's a privilege and a blessing to pray with you and encourage you. I invite you to be with us as often as you can.
All right. Thank you, ma'am.
Amen. You're welcome. So you are always invited to call for commentary on the Book of Revelation. sharing your perspective on the book of Revelation, and, of course, the number one thing that we do on PGN, which is to pray for the people of God. So thank you, Janice, for being with me and with us. Tonight we're talking about the marriage supper prophecy countdown to the Battle of Armageddon. So we're in Revelation chapter 19, verses 6 to 21, and we're about to hear John's report of what he saw as the angel of the Lord showed him a vision that was external to himself, moving pictures with sound. So it begins with John the Revelator sharing that he heard the shout of a vast crowd, and then declaring that it's time for the wedding feast of the Lamb. We're going to hear that in just a moment when we hear these scriptures. And what's the wedding feast of the Lamb? So the wedding of the Lamb, often referred to as the marriage of the Lamb, that's the first resurrection. When Jesus Christ marries his bride, when he finally gets his forever family in the flesh, when all who are in Christ, those who have died and who are in heaven, as well as those of us who are here at the time of the second coming, all who are in Christ, we will transition from mortality to immortality. That's the wedding of the Lamb. Jesus Christ gets his forever family in the flesh. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 says, and so we rise up to meet the Lord, and so shall we be forever with the Lord. So marriage in God's design, marriage is forever. So that's the marriage of the Lamb, the first resurrection described in Revelation chapter 14 in the earthly prophecy. Then later we have the marriage supper or the wedding feast. So Jesus, when he returns as the Lion of the tribe of Judah, he has two key action items at the beginning, at the start, when he returns. Number one, the first resurrection. Number two, the Battle of Armageddon. So the wedding feast of the Lamb, it is actually God's cleanup plan for the Battle of Armageddon. Now, why is the Battle of Armageddon so important? When the Battle of Armageddon ends, the government of man, the governments of man, human government is put down, and the government of Jesus Christ arises. Isaiah chapter 9 tells us, and of the increase of his government and his peace, there shall be no end. Whose government? The government of Jesus Christ. When does it begin? It begins immediately after Jesus Christ fights and wins the Battle of Armageddon. So here we are. The ninth documentary, John the Revelator, was shown. There's an announcement that it's time for the wedding feast of the Lamb. And then in the next scene, we're going to hear that Jesus Christ is in heaven on a white horse, and that he's followed as he descends from heaven to the earth. He's followed by the armies of heaven, also on white horses. And then in the next scene, we'll be right here on this present earth. On one side, the quarterback for God. Who's God's quarterback? Jesus Christ, the Son of God and the Son of Man, God manifest in the flesh. On one side, Jesus Christ, the quarterback for God, and on the other side, the Antichrist, the quarterback for Satan. So we have these two teams in the Super Bowl that we're going to call the Battle of Armageddon, which is the Battle of Armageddon. And then in the next scene, we're going to hear that the Antichrist is captured. He is captured, and finally, in the very last scene, two things happen. Two things happen. All of the individuals in the armies led by the Antichrist, they all die. They all die by the sword that comes out of the mouth of Jesus Christ, the rider of the white horse. And the very last verse, the very last scripture, Revelation chapter 19, verse 21, we're going to hear it in a moment. This is why it's called the wedding feast of the Lamb. The vultures gorge themselves on the bodies, all of the carnage that exists after 100% of the armies led by the Antichrist have been destroyed. So God is a God of order. There is an order to these end-time events, and there is a cleanup plan for what Revelation chapter 14 describes as 180 miles of blood. So the carnage that will be left after the Battle of Armageddon, it will be 180 miles long and approximately 5 feet high. Revelation chapter 14 says as high as a horse's bridle. Let's go to the scripture. Let's hear it. Here it is, the marriage supper of the Lamb, the marriage supper documentary, Revelation chapter 19, verse 6, John the Revelator says to you and to me, then I heard again what sounded like the shout of a vast crowd or the roar of mighty ocean waves or the crash of loud thunder. Praise the Lord, for the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice, and let us give honor to him. For the time has come for the wedding feast of the Lamb, and his bride has prepared herself. She has been given the finest of pure white linen to wear, for the fine linen represents the good deeds of God's holy people. And the angel said to me, write this, blessed are those who are invited to the wedding feast of the Lamb. And he added, these are true words that come from God. Let's pause there for a second. Who's invited to the wedding feast of the Lamb? The bride has prepared herself, we're told in verse 7. So first, there is the first resurrection in Revelation chapter 14. And I believe that the beginning of Revelation 15 reveals that when we rise up to meet Jesus Christ in the clouds, we continue with Jesus Christ. We ascend to heaven for some period of time as the seven final plagues are poured out onto this earth. That's the seven plagues prophecy, Revelation chapters 15 and 16. And then we have the destruction of Babylon, the headquarters for the harlot church, Revelation chapter 17, 18, and verses 19, 1 to 5. And then we return with Jesus Christ. Why do we return? We return because we are invited. Verse 7 says, and his bride has prepared herself. She has been given the finest of pure white linen to wear. Wear to what? Wear to witness the Battle of Armageddon. So the Battle of Armageddon is pain and suffering for those who are Team Satan. It is joy and rejoicing for those who are Team Jesus. Let's continue. Verse 9 says, and the angel said to me, write this, blessed are those who are invited to the wedding feast of the Lamb. And he added, these are true words that come from God. Then I fell down at his feet to worship him, but he said, no, don't worship me. I am a servant of God, just like you and your brothers and sisters who testify about their faith in Jesus. Worship only God, for the essence of prophecy is to give a clear witness for Jesus. Then I saw heaven opened, and a white horse was standing there. Its rider was named Faithful and True, for he judges fairly and wages a righteous war. His eyes were like flames of fire, and on his head were many crowns. A name was written on him that no one understood except himself. He wore a robe dipped in blood, and his title was the Word of God. The armies of heaven, dressed in the finest of pure white linen, followed him on white horses. From his mouth came a sharp sword to strike down the nations. He will rule them with an iron rod. He will release the fierce wrath of God, the Almighty, like juice flowing from a wine press. On his robe, at his thigh, was written this title, King of all kings and Lord of all lords. Let's pause there for a second. So in verses 11 to 16, we are given several descriptions that communicate that the rider of the white horse is Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ, he in heaven on a white horse, he begins to descend using his vehicle of choice, a white horse, from heaven to this present earth. That is coming up. When he descends, he will be followed by the armies of heaven. They are also riding white horses, according to Revelation 19, verse 14. So how do we know this is Jesus Christ? A couple of ways. It says, on his robe at his thigh was written this title, King of all kings and Lord of all lords. So even if we only had that, we would know this is Jesus Christ. But we're also told his eyes were like flames of fire. This is the same description in Revelation chapter 1 of Jesus Christ. And it says, and on his head were many crowns. So when Jesus rides the white horse, he has many crowns. This is in contrast to the rider of the white horse in the Seven Seals documentary who wears one crown. So those are two different individuals. Okay, what happens next? Verse 17 then says, then I saw an angel standing in the sun shouting to the vultures flying high in the sky. Let's pause there. So the very next scene, we're told Jesus Christ leaves heaven. He's riding on his white horse, descending to this present earth. He's followed by the armies of heaven. And then what happens is an angel stands in the sun and shouts to the vultures. Now notice, the angel doesn't shout to the saints. The angel doesn't shout, cats or dogs. The angel doesn't shout to those who have the mark of the beast. The angel shouts, it says, to the vultures flying high in the sky. Come, gather together for the great banquet God has prepared. Come and eat the flesh of kings, generals, and strong warriors, of horses and their riders, and of all humanity, both free and slave, small and, let's pause there. So Revelation 19, verses 17 to 18, this is very straightforward. It makes it clear that the great banquet, the wedding feast, the wedding of the Lamb, it's not for us as the bride of Christ. We will be there to witness it, but certainly Jesus Christ is not a cannibal. Certainly the people of God, the saints, we are not cannibals. We are not going to eat the flesh of kings, generals, and strong warriors. No, the cleanup committee for the Battle of Armageddon is comprised singularly of vultures. Vultures. Now, you might say, this is grotesque. I don't want to hear this. Think about this. The Antichrist will have ruled and reigned for 3.5 years. There'll be a time of great distress, the Bible tells us, like the world has never seen, the earth has never seen, and will never see again. And this is his. This is the moment where the wrath of God is going to come down onto the Antichrist, onto the false prophet, and to those who have worshipped the Antichrist. They have worshipped the statue of the Antichrist. They have taken the mark of the beast, and they are there in Israel to take out the people of God who have been worshiping in the third temple, the rebuilt temple. So this is the reality that those who are enemies of God suffer consequences. God is patient. God is loving. God is kind. But God is a God of justice. Those who have yielded themselves to Satan, including the Antichrist and the false prophet, they pay the penalty for rejecting God. Now, Let's see what happens. The instruction has gone out to these vultures. They are the cleanup committee for the wedding banquet. That's the Battle of Armageddon. Verse 19 says, "Then I saw the beast and the kings of the world and their armies gathered together to fight against the one sitting on the horse and his army." So what's happened here? Jesus left heaven. He's ready, and he's coming with his armies. And then the cleanup committee for the Battle of Armageddon, those who need to go into action, I'm saying those, the vultures that need to go into action once the Battle of Armageddon is over, they have received their instruction. And so in the very next scene, it's go time. We're there at the Battle of Armageddon. The Battle of Armageddon is on. Verse 19, "Then I saw the beast," that's the Antichrist, "and the kings of the world and their armies gathered together to fight against the one sitting on the horse and his army." So the one sitting on the horse is Jesus Christ, the King of all kings, the Lord of all lords. He's sitting on his white horse with the armies of heaven. Now, who are the kings of the world and their armies? So this is post-Great Tribulation. So the Great Tribulation, that's the wrath of Satan. It lasts for 3.5 years. It is followed by the first resurrection. And after the first resurrection is the wrath of God. The wrath of Satan, the Great Tribulation, is a time of great distress for those who are Team Jesus. The seven final plagues, which happen after the first resurrection, that's a time of great distress for those who are Team Satan. Those who are Team Satan. After the seven final plagues have been poured out, as we the saints are in heaven, we're in heaven as the seven final plagues are poured out. I believe that Revelation chapter 15, the beginning of that, reveals that. Then the headquarters for the one world religion, the harlot church, Mystery Babylon, it is destroyed, and then Jesus Christ leaves heaven, followed by the armies of heaven and the saints of God. He comes back with all his holy ones, every person whose name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And now we are watching the Battle of Armageddon, and Jesus Christ is there, here on this present earth. Now what happens? "Then I saw the beast and the kings of the world and their armies gathered together to fight against the one sitting on the horse and his army." So all the armies are there in Jerusalem. Why are they there? The Antichrist believes that he's going to take over Israel. He's already stood in the temple, the third temple, which we're waiting for Israel to get the green light to rebuild the third temple. The red heifer is here. The red heifer is here. The tenth red heifer is here. When that temple is rebuilt, shortly thereafter, we'll have the revealing of the Antichrist to the entire world when he stands in the rebuilt temple and declares that he is God. Shortly thereafter, he's going to declare war against Israel. He's going to declare war against Israel. That's going to last approximately 3.5 years. Exactly. The Bible says 1,260 days. That's in Revelation chapter 12. After the Great Tribulation and after the first resurrection, the Antichrist, he is still growing strong. Now, as saints, we've already been raptured, but now we're coming back to watch the Battle of Armageddon. We're coming back with Jesus to watch the Battle of Armageddon. Verse 20, here it is, what happens? It says, "And the beast was captured, and with him the false prophet who did mighty miracles on behalf of the beast, miracles that deceived all who had accepted the mark of the beast and who worshipped his statue. Both the beast and his false prophet were thrown alive into the fiery lake of burning sulfur." So what has happened? The Battle of Armageddon, it's fought and won. The leaders of it, Satan's two flunkies, the Antichrist and the false prophet, they are captured when? After the Great Tribulation has ended, after the wrath of God has been poured out, they are captured at the Battle of Armageddon, and what happens to them? They are destroyed. Now, how does Jesus Christ destroy God's enemies? He destroys them with the second death. Revelation chapter 20 reveals that the second death is the lake of fire that burns with sulfur and brimstone forever and ever. It's permanent. It's destruction, being forever separated from God in the torment of Gehenna. Gehenna is the lake of fire that burns with sulfur and brimstone forever and ever. So it says here, both the beast and his false prophet were thrown alive into the fiery lake of burning sulfur. Now, what happens to the armies? What happens to the armies? Revelation 21 reveals the answer to this question. It says, their entire army was killed by the sharp sword that came from the mouth of the one riding the white horse. What does this mean? There is a weapon of war that Jesus Christ will use at the Battle of Armageddon. That weapon is a sword. We're told elsewhere in the book of Revelation that it's a two-edged sword, that it extends from his mouth. Here we're told that this sharp sword comes from the mouth of the one riding the white horse. We already know who's the one riding the white horse. It's the King of all kings. It's the Lord of all lords. And we're also told his name is Revelation 13, chapter 19, verse 13. It says, and his title was the Word of God. So who is that? That's Jesus Christ, God manifest in the flesh. We're told, great is the mystery of the Godhead. Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one. So Jesus Christ, being both the Son of God and the Son of Man, God manifest in the flesh, he comes back to fight the enemies of God. And the first two of the five enemies of God are destroyed at the Battle of Armageddon. And 100% of those individuals who are there fighting, they're there to take out Israel. They think it's going to be easy. We find out in Daniel, they think it's going to be so easy. They think they're going to just take Israel down, but in fact, the opposite is going to happen. So all of the people in the army, they lose their lives. They experience what we call the first death. Okay, the Bible refers to death as simply sleeping. So over and over again, when somebody has experienced a loss of life due to the fact that we live in a mortal body, it's referred to as sleep. Oh, he's just sleeping. She's just sleeping. Now, why is that? Why is that? Only the second death is permanent. So all whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life will be resurrected at the time of the marriage of the Lamb. And all of these people here, it says their entire army was killed by the sharp sword that came from the mouth of the one riding the white horse. What happens to them after they die? So when they die by the sword that comes out of the mouth of Jesus Christ, they're going to descend. They're going to descend as disembodied spirits to a prison of darkness underneath this earth. It's referred to in the Bible over and over again as Hades. Hades, just like heaven, it's a storage tank. Prophet Randy Chandler has referred often to heaven as a temporary storage tank. We say, well, how can heaven be temporary? Because we're transitioning to a new earth. We're transitioning to a new earth. We're going to live on a new earth, and God the Father is going to relocate his home from present heaven to the new earth, according to Revelation chapter 21 and 22. But let's stay here. What's going to happen to these people in these armies, the armies led by the Antichrist? They are going to descend as disembodied spirits, so they will have perfect continuity of life. The only difference is that instead of being three in one, body, spirit, and soul, they'll be two in one. So their spirit will be intact, their soul, their mind, will, and emotions will be intact. They're going to descend to a prison of darkness, Hades, and there they will remain until what Revelation chapter 20, verses 4 and 5 refer to as another resurrection. Now, you don't want to participate in another resurrection. That's the resurrection for those who are going to participate in the great white throne judgment, those who are going to have their cases litigated, where God is the prosecutor, and instead of them having Jesus Christ as a mediator, they're going to have to defend themselves, and you can imagine how that's going to go. God is the prosecutor. A mere human is a defendant. 100% of the individuals who participate in another resurrection, who are there at the great white throne judgment. The books are opened, we're told, in the dead judged prophecy, Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 to 15. 100% of those individuals are found guilty. They are found guilty. What does that mean? They have sin debt that has not been paid for, and they don't have what they need to pay for it. Therefore, they are thrown into the lake of fire. They rejected the opportunity to get their case in good order. They rejected the opportunity to have Jesus Christ as their mediator. So 1 Timothy tells us Jesus Christ is the only mediator between God and man. They rejected that. So these individuals, again, it says in Revelation 19, verse 21, their entire army was killed. Coming to you, 561 and 941, it says their entire army was killed by the sharp sword that came from the mouth of the one riding the white horse. And here's the last line. Here's the last line, the last sentence, the last piece of information shown to John the Revelator as he watched the marriage supper documentary. He tells us, and the vultures all gorged themselves on the dead bodies. Now, again, you might say, this is gruesome. I think that's a wrong way to look at this. 180 miles of carcasses, flesh, the flesh of kings and others in humanity, strong warriors, it says, generals, horses. Somebody's got to clean that up. Somebody's got to clean that up. And the angel of the Lord has given an instruction to the vultures to clean it up. How are they going to clean up the flesh of kings, generals, and strong warriors? They're going to gorge themselves. That's how they are going to clean it up. Okay, that is the marriage supper prophecy in its entirety. That's the documentary John the Revelator was shown. He wrote down everything he saw and heard, and so we have the benefit of knowing what's going to happen at the Battle of Armageddon. The marriage supper prophecy is countdown to the Battle of Armageddon and the Battle of Armageddon itself. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, because immediately after the Battle of Armageddon, Jesus Christ puts down the governments of men, and he establishes the government of God here on this present earth. So when John the Revelator shown the next documentary, it's about the first 1,000 years of the government of Jesus Christ on this present earth. So the Battle of Armageddon is something for us to look forward to. It's something for us to be excited about. Finally, we're going to see the Antichrist and the false prophet get what they deserve, which is to be forever separated from God and far away from any opportunity to negatively impact the saints of God, the people of God. So, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, that the Battle of Armageddon is coming. Thank you that you have a plan to fight and win the Battle of Armageddon. Thank you, Lord, that we know what is to happen. We're children of the light in the day, not children of the night. So thank you, Lord, for revealing these secrets to us, because we can place our hope in you, knowing that you have a plan to overcome and to defeat the evil that is in this world, and it is soon coming. So let's go to 561-201. I'm going to unmute you. 561-201. Who am I talking to, and where are you calling from?
Hey, this is Rita. I'm calling from Florida.
Hey, Rita from Florida. How are you doing?
Oh, my gosh. I just told my friend. I said, I hope the Lord calls me first, and you done called me the first one. Thank you, Jesus. Hey, is this Miss Carmen?
This is Nicole. Carmen is normally on Saturday, so I'm sorry I'm not Carmen, but she is with us. she's here,
yes,
on PG normally on Saturdays.
Okay. How you doing?
I am doing well. I'm so blessed. I thank God for you. Thank you for being with us. May I pray for you, or did you have a comment or a question about the book of Revelation?
No, I want you to pray for me.
Amen. I'm happy to do that. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, I just thank you for Rita. Thank you that she is a woman of God. Thank you, Lord, that you've given her a powerful voice, a mighty voice. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. You know, I just see you, I see you having a ministry of deliverance. Like, people have these really, really, really heavy battles that they're facing. They got this demonic oppression just going through the bloodlines, and I see you praying over them, being able to see in the spirit what is going on with them, and being able to minister to them, and being able to cast out those demonic spirits of oppression. It's like you're looking in the spirit, navigating what has happened in the past, like the Lord shows it to you. And when he shows you what happened in the past, then you know how to pray for these people. I just see them, some of them, it's like the burdens they're carrying is so heavy. I see you in a church, and they're at the altar. Some of them can't stand up. The burdens they've been carrying are just so heavy. And thank you, Lord, that you've given her this wonderful ministry of deliverance. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Ooh, amen. You know what, ma'am? You are so right in everything you said. Everything you just said was so right on. I don't know how you guys do this over the phone, but you just spot on. God told me this here like maybe 10 years ago. He showed me a vision that I'm going to be delivering people for him.
You know, that's exactly what the Lord showed me. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Mm. That's a powerful ministry.
Well,
yeah. Hallelujah.
Okay.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you. Ooh, glory, hallelujah. Well, oh, God, I don't even know what to say right now. I'm done. I'm so done. How is
Amen.
Mr. Ranley Chandler?
I believe he's good and great. You know, he's going to be on tonight in just a short while, about an hour and 13 minutes, on the 1-319-527-6737 phone number.
Okay. All right. Well, it's not to diminish you. I was just asking about Randy. He's a great man of God. I've seen him once in Tampa, I believe. He was over here somewhere in Florida.
Okay.
And I got to see the man of God. Yeah. So that's
Praise
all
God.
I got for you, honey. Huh?
Okay, well, he's going to be on tonight. Tonight is communion night, so I hope you can join us. Let me give that phone number. So it's the same as this number, except the last four digits are 6737.
Okay, I got it. Okay. And he's going to do communion?
Yep. So Thursday is communion night, and then he will be praying for folks as well.
Okay. Hey, I got a question to ask you, though. Like right now,
yes.
I'm living with a friend. Am I in the right place? Is God showing you anything about that? Should I leave? Should I move out of here or what? Because I'm under such warfare in this house.
You know, if you would give me the name of your friend, or you can say anonymous if you want, I can pray for your friend and just see if the Lord shows me anything.
Well, her name is Donna. Her name's Donna.
Amen. Let's take it to the Lord in prayer. Thank you for your question and your faith. Lord, we just come to you right now praying for Donna. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, that for Donna. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Well, I can just tell you what I can just only say. I hear the Lord saying, "Donna's on the run. Donna's on the run."
Oh, she, oh my gosh, he's been telling me, huh?
I don't know what it means. I just hear the Lord saying, "Donna's on the run."
Wow. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. Okay. Thank you. I know what it means.
Okay. Amen. Thank you, Lord. And you know, let me pray again for you. For you had that question. Let's take it to the Lord. So, Lord. We just pray that you would give Rita wisdom and clarity. Lord, let her hear your voice. Let her know exactly what she is to do. And, Lord, let her not miss any blessing that you have for her. Thank you, Lord, that her steps are ordered by you, Lord, and she will find and follow your perfect plan for her life. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen, sister, and bless you too.
God bless you. Thank you.
All right, honey. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right.
Thank you so much for being with us. We're going to come to you now, 941-524. Who am I talking to, and where are you calling from?
Hello, this is Aaron Dan calling from Sarasota.
Hey, Aaron Dan calling from Sarasota. Thank you for being with me and with us. Do you have a comment on the Book of Revelation, a prayer request, or maybe a question about the Book of Revelation?
Yes, I do. I have a question for you.
Yes.
And it's concerning the sword that comes out of his mouth. You read that. There's a sharp sword that comes out of God's mouth.
And that's right.
I noticed that it says in Revelation chapter 11, there says that there's a fire that comes out of the mouth of two witnesses. So I wanted to ask you what are your thoughts on the differences between the sword that comes out of his mouth and the fire?
That's a wonderful question. So Revelation chapter 11 is part of the seven trumpets prophecy. And you're talking about the part describing the ministry of the two prophets. So they're going to minister for the entire period of the Great Tribulation. So my perception is that the difference is this. The fire that flashes from their mouth, it's a way for them to take out their enemies, and they can use it at will for anyone that wants to harm them. And Jesus Christ, with the sword that comes from his mouth, it's not fire, but it's a two-edged sword. So I think there's some similarities there in that these are both weapons that take out, that kill their enemies. So these are powerful weapons, both the fire that comes from their mouth and the two-edged sword that will come out of the mouth of Jesus Christ. So both are used to consume the enemies of God, but one is fire, one is a sword. We're told elsewhere in the book of Revelation that it's a two-edged sword. So both very powerful weapons. You know, we might think of it like this. There are different kinds of firearms that people can use, or you might think of it as, you know, a bomb's one way to take folks out. Another way to take folks out is to use lethal gas, but both are powerful weapons. So some similarities but distinct differences. We don't see any place where anyone else has that same two-edged sword. I don't see in the book of Revelation where anyone else has that two-edged sword. So it appears that that's a weapon that's unique to Jesus Christ. In contrast, both of the two prophets have the ability to use the fire to take out their enemies, the enemies of God.
But aren't they the same in effect that they are both used for protection?
I agree. Yes, they're both used as weapons to take out the enemies of God. So in that way, their purpose is the same, right?
Right.
So it says in Revelation chapter 11, verses 4 and 5, these two prophets are the two olive trees and the two lampstands that stand before the Lord of all the earth. If anyone tries to harm them, fire flashes from their mouths and consumes their enemies. You know, I hadn't thought about these similarities. I'm glad you brought this to our attention, because the fire comes from their mouths. It's just in the same way the two-edged sword comes from the mouth of Jesus Christ. So it's interesting. Today, if you and I wanted to use a weapon, we need probably to have something that's operated from our hands, right? We'd reach for our gun, or we'd reach to press a button, or, you know, we need to use our hands or our feet or something to connect to the weapon. But
yeah,
they're going to simply be able to operate the lethal weapons that they have from their mouths. So it appears that will.
Yeah. Very interesting. Thank you for that.
You're welcome. I appreciate your question. Do you have a favorite chapter or verse in the book of Revelation?
Yeah, I have a few. The rider on the white horse. I like the two witnesses, the whole chapter 11. It's the scriptures that talks about the new heaven, new earth, like you talked about. In Revelation, it's so power-packed. It's just so much. So much to be thankful for. One scripture says, "For you have begun to reign," is in Revelation 11. They praise God and they said, "Praise God because you have begun to reign." And I like the talk about the 1,000-year reign. When people say, "Oh, we're waiting for the rapture of the church, and when the rapture happens, we'll all disappear." I think of it as when Jesus comes back, we reign on the earth.
That's
I like
right.
to think that he was on the earth the first time, and they called him King of the Jews. And the second time he's coming back, he's going to be king again on the earth for 1,000 years, the Bible says. 1,000-year reign. Yeah.
Yeah, we're going to be, so this month, March of 2024, every Thursday and Sunday, we're talking about the marriage supper prophecy. But in April, we're going to be focusing on the millennial reign prophecy, which you're talking about, Revelation chapter 20, verses 1 to 10. That's exactly right. Immediately after the Battle of Armageddon, the Bible tells us that Satan gets into a fight, hand-to-hand combat with the angel of the Lord. The angel of the Lord binds Satan in chains, throws him into the bottomless pit, takes the key, locks him in there, and here on this present earth, Jesus Christ puts up some judges, and he establishes his government, and then we're ruling and reigning with him, just as you said, for 1,000 years. At the end of the 1,000 years, Satan's released for a short while. Then fire comes down to consume all the people who were deceived by Satan. Once again, they're trying to attack Jerusalem, and Satan's thrown into the lake of fire where he joins the anti-false prophet. So I'm excited about the millennial reign as well. I'm looking forward to being a part of the government of Jesus Christ.
Amen. Yeah, I see that as the next event. I don't look at the Antichrist and the Mark of the Beast happening first as much as I think our hope is in the Lord that he will come back to the earth. And he's coming a second time to the earth. He's coming to reign he's going to reign from Jerusalem, but I don't believe that he has to necessarily be in Jerusalem to reign on the earth. I think that he's Lord of the whole earth. The Bible says that these are the two witnesses who stand before the Lord of the earth. And so Jesus is king over America. He's king over Israel. He's king over everybody. And to have the Lord come back in my day, in my time that I live, and to see that is a blessing to be alive for the second coming. That's my interpretation of the second coming, is when Jesus comes back and reigns on the earth.
Hallelujah. I am
Hallelujah.
With you. Well, thank you for being here with me and with us. I hope you'll be able to join us again. We're on every Thursday at 7 p.m. Texas time, and on Sundays at 12 noon Texas time. Do you listen to our main PGM program anytime, Prophet Randy Chandler, Monday through Thursday?
Yeah, sometimes I'll be listening, but I don't call in. I just listen on blogtalk.com, Blog Talk Radio. Yeah, I listen through the website, and I don't necessarily call in. But I'm listening. I hear the different the lady before me, she mentioned Carmen and different ones. And, I'm still listening. It's really good. Tonight should be a great night. Randy Chandler, he's got Thursday night. I know that. He'll be on a different number. Yeah, so I'm listening. Yeah.
Okay, wonderful. I just wanted to make sure that you knew about it so that you could be a part of it if you want to do that. So I thank God for you. I loved talking with you about the Book of Revelation. Please call again.
Oh, thank you very much, and you have a good night with it. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Praise God.
Praise God. So this has been an awesome night. Thank you so much to the people of God who have been with me and with us. I strongly believe that those events, John the Revelator was shown. He was shown documentaries. He was shown documentaries about the time that we live in now. Jesus Christ told him to write down the things that are, which he did in Revelation chapters 2 and 3, and the things to come. He wrote those things down. Revelation chapters 5 all the way to chapter 22, verse 5. So we're talking about all of the documentaries that John the Revelator was shown tonight. We have heard from beginning to end the marriage supper documentary in the book of Revelation. I want to thank you for being here with me and with us. And I think we have heard from everyone. I don't see any other hands raised. Before we end, I want to say a prayer over you and over everyone who is listening. Revelation chapter 1 says that, I see another hand raised. Let me go back. Oh, okay, the hand went down. No worries. Okay, the hand is back. I think you have your hand raised, 561-729. Let me come to you now.
Yes.
561-729. Who am I talking to and where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Kissimmee, Florida.
Okay. Thank you for calling. And who is this?
Monique Shavers.
Hey, Monique. Thank you for calling. How may I pray for you, or do you have a comment or question about the book of Revelation?
I was at work today, and the young man, he was talking about, I work at a group home, talking about all of a sudden he got into the book of Revelation last night. So that was, you know, something very neat from a young man was talking about it. And he was a teen that had been through some trouble, so.
Okay. Praise God. That's wonderful.
And I was calling for prayer for a home prayer for me as well, so I can do the things God has called me to do. And I wanted prayer for my family and prayer for me to be a first time home buyer.
Okay. Amen. I would love to pray with you about those things. Let's take it to the Lord in prayer. Lord, thank you for Monique. Thank you, Lord, that she's a woman of faith. Thank you, Lord, that you have given, you have put desires in her that line up with what it is you want her to have. Thank you, Lord, that she's been praying the will of God for her life. Thank you, Lord, that you have a wonderful home for her and that you're opening doors. You're opening doors. You know, Monique, I see something very odd. It's like it's some paperwork or some documents that exist, but they were like a problem. Normally you have paperwork and you need the paperwork and it's good, but I see some paperwork that was a problem and somebody ripping it up and not actually helping you. Like it's some kind of paperwork. I don't know what's on it, but they just ripped that up and that's going to be in your favor.
Oh, thank you, Jesus.
That's going to be in your favor. Lord, thank you that the answer for her is going to be yes. Thank you, Lord, that the answer for her is going to be yes. You know, the Lord shows me that this happened a long time ago. They were running the show American Idol. And the very last person, they had heard hundreds, maybe over 1,000 people. I don't know how many, but it was a lot of people. And the very last person that they heard was Fantasia, and then she was the winner. And so I believe the Lord is saying to you tonight is, yes, you were the last one in line, but I'm going to make you the winner. I'm going to make you the winner. So I don't know if that means you were the last one to see a house or you were the last one for this or that, but he's going to make you the winner of something connected to what you have a heart for about this house thing. So I want you to remember that. Sometimes people think, oh, you got to get there first. Like the agents say, oh, the house goes up, you got to be first, or you know, they get on you with this timing and you feel like you got to beat everyone. And so I want you to remember this. She ended up being the winner. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. And, Lord, she's also come asking for prayer for her family. So, Lord, we just pray that you would bless her family in every way. Your word says that you have wonderful plans and that eye hath not seen nor ear heard all the wonderful things that you have planned for those who love the Lord and who are called according to your purposes. And so, Lord, we just pray that every member of her family, Lord, that they would have a heart for you, Lord Jesus, that they would find and follow your plan for their life, Lord, that they will cooperate with you, Lord, that they would turn off and tune out every wrong voice, turn off and tune out wrong influences, wrong relationships, hallelujah, thank you, Lord, wrong relationships, they would tune those out. Hallelujah. You know, seems like there needs to be more men in the family, and that the Lord has a plan to make that happen. Seems like there needs to be more men in the family, and that the Lord has a plan to make that happen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Amen. It's my pleasure, Monique. What do you have to say?
I'll say thank you, and I ask that the Lord lift you up, and whatever you have been asking, Lord, I ask it to be your will that be done for this whole ministry, and I just ask for growth to come within y'all, and have a blessed week.
Thank you, Monique. It was a pleasure to get to pray with you. For you. God bless you. Please be with us again.
Thank you.
Amen. Amen. Okay. So I think we have heard from everyone, but I am not sure. I see one more hand raised, 941-524. I haven't been writing the numbers down. I just want to make sure I don't miss anyone. So we may have talked already, but I'm just going to double check to make sure I don't miss anyone. May we hear from you? 941-524. Did we talk already? 941-524. Okay, let me unmute you. Thank you for your patience. 941-524, are you there, 941? Okay, I don't, maybe 941-524, we have already heard from you. Okay, I just want to make sure we don't miss anyone. Okay, well, praise God. I just thank you for being here with me and with us. As I shared earlier, there's a wonderful blessing in the book of Revelation for those who hear the prophecies in the book of Revelation and who obey the instructions contained therein. And so tonight you have heard the words of prophecy in the book of Revelation. So I declare and decree according to the word of God, Revelation chapter 1, I declare and decree that you are blessed because you have heard the words of prophecy in the book of Revelation, and I pray that you will obey the instructions contained in the book of Revelation. Thank you, Lord, for every friend and truth seeker who has been listening tonight. God bless you. Thank you for being with me and with us. We will be back again. We'll be back again next Thursday at 7 p.m. Texas time and this Sunday at 12 noon Texas time. God bless you. Until next time, friend and truth seeker.